All right. Well, this is our week number 5. So can you imagine how much work we have done? My goodness. I've been seeing so much transformation in you guys. It's incredible to see all the light bulbs and realizations and how many things have changed since you started. It's quite something, I think, to see this many changes this quickly within this large of a group. That's not very common. So I'm very happy to see so many components of the transformation that you guys are having. So this week is on responsibility. And I'm sure you all notice that this is a kind of a touchy subject because we tend to think we're responsible in certain things when we're not realizing we're actually not when it comes to the internal creation of some of our experiences. So that's why the component there of responsibility for your emotions and for your thoughts or stories is very important. There's also responsibility for how you feel in your body, which we'll get to. But those components are how you allowing yourself to be responsible for your experience. A lot of the things I've been seeing that keep coming up here are pieces like, what about this stuff that happened? Like, that's a fact. So now I'm going to change this somehow, or I have to move on, but this is still happened. So what do I do with it? Remember, what we're working with is perception, not events. Events are the classroom setup. Perception is the meaning we give the experience. Okay? So none of this is real. We are light beings all the time. We're white light. We're all God, source, universe, whatever. We are all one thing. This we're pretending. It doesn't actually exist. We made this up. We made up dimensions, we made up different consciousnesses, different beings, different bodies, different forms, different planets, different stars, different simulations. And now we are on this planet, in these bodies, in this simulation. It's a classroom. Classroom is like a setup for us to learn. Within that classroom, there are experiences. So you're going to have different events happen in your life, different things that trigger you, whatever. All of that is a setup that at the beginning, you don't really control. Like, you know, if somebody is driving drunk and decides to crash into your building, okay, well, you can't prevent them from crashing into your building. But you can choose to see that event as positive or negative, as something that means something to you that destroys you or means something to you that upgrades you. And if something happens habitually in our life, that's a clue that that's the part we're co-creating as the event itself. Right? So I've been asked that a lot, and some of you have been emailing me in addition to the Facebook group, so I'll just bring it all here without naming names, so then it's cleaner. But think of it like experiences you incarnated into. Those are the preset of your classroom. This is something that you, as a personality, the human self, did not create because you weren't formed yet. You, as a new baby, you just entered into already preset environment. Maybe it was an abusive father, maybe it was negligent mother, maybe it was, I don't know, poverty or whatever it was. That were circumstances set up this way because this is what your soul saw as the most appropriate experience for you to go to the next level. Either cleaning up the karmic pattern you already have, which means we have to be triggered in that pattern in order for us to clean it up, or by bringing a certain set of circumstances together that then will help us rise to the next level, exploring the types of energies that we brought in from these three types and from the larger sort of soul mission. So that's the initial preset of the classroom. But now, once we're in that classroom, we are forming who we are within the lifetime. That's the part we have full and total control over. But when we're little, we don't really know that unless we're really connected. So if someone's really connected all the way, then they will have more clarity and understanding when something is off. And a lot of the star seeds here, people who have experiences that are of a deeper consciousness range, felt that. Like, you knew something was incorrect in the reality you were in. It was not harmonious. But many people don't actually know. They just kind of assume that this is what it is. Either way, we get indoctrinated into whatever those patterns are. And those could be something that our parents believe, something that experiences that happen that we then give them incorrect meaning because of our own karmic perception, or just because as a limited perspective of the lower self, it just has such a small range and narrow vision that within the parameters of information available to it, this is the best it can do. You know, kind of like my favorite example is if it rains outside, child goes outside, gets wet, and then is traumatized because they somehow got stuck in the rain and it's super cold rain, let's say. They are home, they're crying, they're wet, they're not happy. And then next day they're saying, I'm not going to go outside because what if it rains? Because rain is dangerous. That's kind of a silly example, but that is what we're talking about here that happens to us. We just make up this story that rain is dangerous, so we can't go outside. And then we do all these things to avoid going outside. Instead of, first of all, realizing rain is not dangerous, and second, if you wanted to not get wet, just be prepared. That's the resourcefulness, right? So that's what we're doing here when we're looking at the responsibility part. That's what that's about. Being self-responsible is essentially choosing to challenge your stories. And when we refuse to do so, that's the lower self holding on for the dear life, saying, no, I want the story to be true. And remember, we learned about negative benefit. Negative benefit is something that your lower self is getting out of your identity being the lower self, out of staying in a small range, right? So kind of like for the child who doesn't want to get wet, the identity there, what is it getting? It's getting to avoid trauma of feeling cold and wet. So then to avoid that trauma, it would prevent this child from walking outside. So in our lives, we prevent ourselves from speaking up, from showing up. We get triggered when people say something, we make that part of our world. All those things, if we're responsible for our own internal reactions, we stop reacting. We start choosing. And that's where the big power switch is, choice versus reaction. So we'll get more into that later, but as far as the responsibility part, that's noticing these things when you're reacting. It's always linked to the identity, always. So if something happens and it's linked to your identity, it's because you gave it a meaning that is lower self type, the smaller box, okay? So I'll give you another silly example. Let's say somebody's supposed to call you and this person doesn't call you. If that is linked to your identity, it will translate into, oh, I'm not worthy of even a phone call, or they are bad because they forgot again, and whatever. It becomes a big deal and it means something about us. I'm not good enough because they didn't call, they're not respecting me, or something else. If on the other hand, it's not part of the identity, if we're in choice, not in a reaction, then when a phone call that was expected didn't happen, all that happens is, oh, new data. What do I do about it? Do I call the person and remind them, hey, we were going to have a conversation. Maybe they just, you know, got busy. Or do I just reschedule my life right now and go do something else? Whatever. It's not hurting. It's not having that thing that pokes at us. Anytime we notice we have a trigger, that's this story explained. It's something that we connected to our identity and then made it mean something about us. Otherwise, we would never be triggered. This whole concept like, well, I got triggered by this, or this didn't happen, and now I'm just, you know, so upset about myself, and then I go down into, oh, I must be not good enough, it will never work. That's not being in choice, which means not being self-responsible, because in that moment, the trigger of whatever set that person off created the chain reaction all the way back to their identity, and then the lower self made it mean something. In this case, that they're not good enough, hence they become depressed, and then that reaction can continue for a long time. Same thing, though, could be done in the positive, right? Like if something happens and you programmed it within yourself, that means it's a clue. It's a sign for something to be coming. It's a new thing. It's a, oh, that means universe is listening to me or whatever. Or, oh, this is an opportunity for me to clean this up. So somebody said this thing again that always gets me hurt or upset or angry. Now I'm not going to get hurt, upset, or angry. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to change my behavior. So see, it's the same thing. It's just a different story utilizing the pattern differently. Okay, so that's what we really, really, really want to get into as a way to experience our reality. That's what really self-responsibility is for. And when we get stuck, like this thing that I heard from some of you on the emails, when like, I don't know, I think I'm stuck, I'm just not getting it. There is no such thing as not getting it. There is, what am I choosing to not look into? Or where am I avoiding facing something? And it's always connecting to holding on to the lower self story. Like, let's say the lower self story is, I just don't get this stuff. Just don't get this stuff. Because I don't know, I don't have the capacity. I'm not smart enough. I'm not conscious enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not something. Then, when the person is faced with something that's a little bit unusual, instead of being resourceful, that unusual thing hits the wound. And the wound says, oh, I'm not good enough, so why try? Because if I try, all I'm going to do is prove myself I'm not good enough, so I'm not going to try. So then it translates into, well, I'm just not getting it. See, that's actually an excuse, and we've learned about excuses already. It's an excuse that then supports the story, and we know excuses are always ways to prop up the story, to prove that it's true. So excuse props up the story, and now we're in a story thinking that we're really not getting it, when we're actually totally capable of getting it if we got over the identity piece in there that says I'm not smart enough or conscious enough or whatever. Okay, so that goes for every single thing. Whatever it is in your lives in there, it's the same thing. Anytime you're trying to do something and it's not working, don't try harder. Change the identity with which you're doing it. Okay, that's what we're learning here. So like somebody was saying that the meditation fell too fast and you know you couldn't quite track. And then I said, well, I think it was Hollis. Just go into the identity first that is going to be at exactly the, you know, whatever the speed is, it's perfect for me. I'm able to comprehend it at that speed and stuff. And then she went through it and it was totally fine. It was exactly what she needed and it didn't feel fast. So every single thing that we're reacting to, reaction is a clue that we're in a limited identity. And responsibility component is a way to switch into the choice component. So then we actually able to be the ones who are making the decision about whatever experience we're going to be having in relationship with the circumstance that has occurred. So a lot of times what I'm hearing here is the circumstance occurred and how do I deal with the circumstance? It's like you don't deal with the circumstance, you change who's looking at the circumstance. And that by default changes the circumstance perception, even if event itself is exactly the same. Because whatever happened in our past, we don't change. Somebody asked me that question on the email. I actually don't remember who, sorry. But it's that thing of, but it happened. Like, what do I do? But it happened. Yeah, it did. And we're not going to become amnesiacs that suddenly just can't remember shit that happened to us. Yeah, we got hurt. Lots of people have lots of painful stuff. It's just, unfortunately, it's not a conscious planet. It sucks. But it also could be joyous, amazing, and victorious, something that you, you know, grow through. It's a decision as to how you look at it. The event itself will not change. It's in a linear timeline already recorded as the thing that has happened. But what it means to you can be completely transformed. And with that, your whole reality can be transformed. Okay, so that's kind of answering, I don't know, I think 7 different questions here all at once. So to switch the track of the irresponsible reaction to a responsible choice. Okay. Remember that first we want to recognize that we're triggered. Triggered means reaction automatically. So if you're triggered, you are in reaction. If you're in reaction, you're not responsible. You're in the lower self, period. So recognition of that, catching yourself in the act, that's important. No judgment here. This is not about good or bad or whatever. It's just oh, opportunity to change this. I need to notice it first. So noticing it is a step one. Then renavigating, okay? Three-step process. So to renavigate to something, what are you renavigating to? Not a different behavior, different identity. And for that, you already have the skill of, okay, if this is how I'm emotionally experiencing reality right now, what am I thinking? What's the story here? What is my actual identity that created this emotional trigger response? Oh, I'm being the person who is not smart or not enough or not capable or, you know, always happens to or whatever it is. Okay, you probably already know of, you know, 5 weeks here, what identity you want to become. That identity is certain set of qualities. It's not a thing, it's not anything in particular physically, although you can use physical images as a means to help you. But it's a set of internal experiences and qualities. So let's say somebody who generates certain income with higher end type of a business is a person who probably has to be confident in their expertise, organized enough to run their empire, know that they are serving through what they're doing while at the same time being extremely well-bounded and not overgiving, definitely clean up any kind of a want to serve the world by fixing it or by sacrificing myself or by healing all the pain or whatever. So it's like all those pieces, they have to be part of that person in order for that person to exist with that kind of experience. So what we're switching here in the second part, the renavigating, that is, who are you being? What is the feeling, experiential thing of that new identity that you are becoming, okay? And the third one is the overlay. So that was somewhere, I think, in this week that you were learning in one of the videos. Overlay means, how are you telling your body that thing that you just came up with as the identity? Your body has to get that message. If the body doesn't get the message, it's a conceptual exercise. It's still nicer than nothing, but ain't gonna do the thing because it's not gonna land in the thing that's broadcasting, which is the body. The body is the broadcasting station, okay? How do we overlay it onto the body? We go into experiences we have already experienced that match to some extent this thing, this experience, the new something, the new identity that we want to become. And it doesn't matter if it's relevant directly or not. It could be standing on a mountain, it could be one time vacation somewhere, it could be one moment when you spoke up when you were in, I don't know, high school. It doesn't matter. It matters that you have the experience in your body that the body can go back to and remember. That's what we want. We want that experience. Once you have that experience, and ideally prior to being triggered moment, so you worked it out, you know, a certain set of experiences that you can kind of have in your toolbox that you can activate when needed. So you go through this three-step process. Step one is you recognize you're being triggered, you're in reaction. Step two is you re-navigate to a different identity. And if you're new to this process, it would be first construct the chain back to the old identity, then switch the new identity, and then the chain back to the new experience. But if you already done it many times, and chances are after a while, it's all the same story anyway, then you already know which identity you want to step into. So you just step into that. And the step three is the overlay the body with the memory experience when it already had a glimpse of the type of feeling you want it to have. Okay, so this three-step process will be very, very much necessary. You want to get really proficient in that. That's the self-responsibility piece. And in order to clean up a little bit of this, one of the exercises I was teaching you in the week five is what are you tolerating? That question was very important. It's can be applied to anything in your life, doesn't have to be business. What are you deciding is true? Because our decision is what's making our reality to be true to us. And who do I have to be in order for this to be different? So those are the three questions that will help you navigate out of any kind of a trigger, any kind of an issue. So in general, even in your life, like if you're looking at, let's say, your relationship, or you're looking at your health, or you're looking at your business, what am I tolerating? What am I deciding is true? And who do I have to be for this to be different? Instead of the typical, what do I do to make it better? Okay? So you had that exercise somewhere in there in your homework, as in whatever your external circumstances that you're not really happy with, your experience of some sort. And then look at, what did you decide, and then why did you decide it? And I gave you some examples there. Let's see where it is in your homework. Somewhere. It's on the page 11. Yeah. So reverse engineering three habitual negative outcomes. I had it for your business because it's in the business section, but you can do it for anything. You can do it for your body, for your career, for your relationships, for just your spiritual development, anything you want. So this is the what happened in your consciousness that created this belief, why I decided that it's real, because real means we don't question it. We just think it is so, factual. And what did it lead to in my external environment circumstances? So in here, I gave you the example. Parents had no money, told me repeatedly that money is hard to come by. Then I decided that I have to work hard to get paid because, you know, parents had to. So then I made a decision that that's true. That's not I, but that's an example in here. So then I always am struggling in my business because the struggle represents that money is hard to come by, right? So it's the struggle that we're having. We're thinking like, oh, what do I do to fix it so it's easier? When actually you have to look at what is the decision that I'm not questioning. Because if it's struggling all the time, I mean, sometimes everything could be struggle, but like if it's a habitual thing, that means there's some decision that's keeping the struggle in place. And decisions are always based on some experience prior. Okay. So I think what I'd like to do now is to go into this kind of a thing for you guys, like, what am I tolerating in whatever area in your life you're choosing to work with, business, relationship, health, spiritual, whatever. And what am I deciding to be true? And you can look at like whatever example that you already had or something new. And who do you have to be? So also like from the standpoint of who were you? So like, let's say like here, the example, this happened in my life. Like I was, there's a second example. What is it? Religious upbringing told me that I'm only a good person if I'm helpful and humble. So then I decided that it's not safe to be visible for fear of being selfish. See, that decision was made on the fact that indoctrination into the belief that this is the only way you're a good person. And then I'm always resentful that I help so much and I can't seem to get paid for it. Well, because that person overgives, overdelivers, self-sacrifices and everything else because they decided that's how they're being a good person, right? So that kind of a little issue here that I want you guys to look at. So wave at me who's going to go first. And Helena, you're going to go first.
Okay. Go. So my big... well, first of all, this is the first week I didn't print out the notebook, the workbook. I just didn't look at anything. And I did listen to the first audio, but I was like so massively triggered, I guess. And then I had this big aha of I can never have any money because I'm female, because, you know, only people with penises have money. Mm-hmm. And people with vaginas don't. So I was kind of, and I believe it's true. And I'm operating on top of this kind of massive, why bother? Because it'll never, that's never going to change unless I have a sex change, I guess, or whatever. But
so that's an interesting way of lower self keeping you poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So how much is have money? What's the, your definition of have money? Like you said, only men can have money. So what does that mean? Have what? $1 million or $500,000 or $10,000? Like, what's having money for you?
Any money, but
well,
yeah.
You have some money. You have a house to live in, clothes on, you're paying rent or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I have like,
you obviously
I have just
some money,
enough.
So, I know, but
a lot.
What is it? What is
like
it?
Millions of dollars, real wealth.
Are you interested in having millions of dollars real wealth, or are you just interested to have more than what you have?
I'm interested in having probably authentically just more than what I have.
Okay. So being honest here, okay, you're saying only man can have millions of dollars.
Right.
I am having something, but I'm dismissing what I'm having because it's not millions of dollars. I want to have a little bit more. But only men can have millions of dollars, so that's why I cannot have a little bit more. Okay, so that's like threefoldly challenging your lower self. Because you're not even saying, if you wanted millions of dollars, I can see, okay, now it's an issue with men can, women can. But it's not. That's actually a secondary story on top that stops you from trying at all. Because you not even having a little bit, you're just saying because only they can have everything, I cannot have anything.
Mm.
So what's that decision about?
I don't know, but I'm getting very emotional.
That's okay. So that's an emotional reaction. Okay. So what's mm-hmm. the actual identity there? What's the belief? What did you decide there?
Just that I'm worthless.
And men Nothing. Are not?
And men are not, yeah.
And are all women worthless or only you?
I think all women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do we know we're worthless? What proof do you have that women are worthless? I mean, there are plenty of very successful women here in this group. So how mm-hmm. are we worthless? We're part of
only because, yeah. So that's not true.
Well, that's obvious, but we're playing the game of the lower self here. Obviously, none of that.
Lower self.
Right. So from the mm-hmm. lower self standpoint, the lower self right now has a proof that we're here and we're actually pretty successful women. So I think you're actually not as unsuccessful as you claim to be either. So that's another lower self thing there. But let's just say, what is lower self getting from making women nothing and men everything? Because that's the real decision there. It has nothing to do with money or anything.
It's I just get to be completely irresponsible. And stay
mean?
In a, well, I don't, for instance, working with you a while back, you gave me like my whole soul purpose thing and asked me to write it, transcribe it and download it. And I never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been like, just not taking that action that would support me being outside my box.
Right, so this is all circumstantial and the story. But now behind that, what is the reason, though, that taking action is dangerous? Because apparently men can take action and it's not dangerous. That's your story there. But women, if women can take action.
If we're visible, something happens.
Uh-huh.
That's
so,
yeah.
And it only happens to women, right? Doesn't happen to men. Uh-huh. So what happens to women when women are visible? That's your lower self. That's we know it's not the rest of you. So from the lower self answer, what would that be?
Some kind of violence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that's a story that, by the way, a lot of women here can relate to, that being a woman if woman is visible, violence happens, sexual abuse or other abuse or whatever happens, because woman claims power and then bad things come to the woman. So one of the lower self stories to protect from getting wet again, you know, going into the rain, would be to say, okay, I'm going to never take power. I'm going to never be visible. And if I'm not, then supposedly I'm safe. But if, and in your situation, you also looped men into that, because then men are the ones who can do that. They get to have the power and be visible. But women, if we do that, then bad things happen. So we shouldn't do that. How is that working out for you?
And what do you mean?
Well, you're a grown-up person now, so obviously this is not continuously happening, whatever happened earlier on. So how are you doing now with that belief?
I feel like I'm just starting to step outside that belief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see that being visible is fun. And that there's more pleasure and power in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and the money is looped to that thing as well, because the more visible you become, the more income you can actually attract to, like, into your life, one way or another, through whatever means. But it's kind of linked to being visible. If you're erasing yourself, you can't get paid. Not possible. So that's interesting thing there, because do you see how we went from men this, women that, and this is, I'm using this as an example, so thank you, Helena, for being an example, because it's not about that. So that's where her lower self was getting stuck in that story, and it's kind of a, like, from the logical side, ridiculous, and I'm sure you yourself know that. So then it's like, well, I don't know what to do with this thing, it's so illogical, it makes no sense, and yet it's still there, right? That's because it's not that. That is a story that's probably from, I don't know, maybe 5-7-year-old girl that came up with that. But if we go further under that, that's the real cause. So her decision was, being woman means if I'm visible, I'm noticed by a predator and then I get hurt. So I cannot be visible. That has nothing to do with making money. That's just what got adopted later on, because her lower self kept holding on to that belief as the only way to survive. I will not go outside and get wet ever again. Even though you now have rain boots and umbrella.
Right.
Right. So
this is
great. You did good. So now one more thing before I let you go. What identity would you switch that to? What decision would you need to make for this to be different?
I am a divine spark, safe to express.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. What part of your life you can connect to as an overlay to this? Like maybe when you're singing or something, like where did you have that experience that your body can believe?
Definitely when I'm singing. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel that.
Yeah. Find whatever memory you have of the moments where you felt that. And that there was visibility and power. Those two things were connected. You weren't just visible and like terrified you're visible. You were visible, but empowered. You felt in that moment like, hey, I'm good. Like I'm aligned. That's what you want to tune into when you say the words that you said with the divine spark. You want to try that again? Tune into that and then say the words?
Okay. It's funny, what I really want to just lean to say is I'm a divine sounder.
Great, even better.
Period.
Yeah, okay. So feel that in your body from the moment when you were sounding and you were feeling that power. Okay, so just take a moment, go in for a moment, just forget all the people, go inside. Yeah, that's okay, you can close your eyes if you want to. So we're all kind of gone and it's just you. And it's between you and the universe, and you have this big open channel, right? And then you connect down all the way into Earth, and you got this whole big cycle, like, whoa, it's powerful, right? Now, from that place, say that you're a divine sounder.
I'm a divine sounder of love and light.
Yeah. Notice how her voice even changed? She just went lower and more present, and your posture changed. You kind of went from like this, you went like, you exhaled. So that's good, but that's part of how you rewire the body. So do you feel complete, Helena?
Yes, I feel very grateful.
Good. Well, thank you for being the guinea pig here. This was a great example, very universal example, and I'm very glad that you spoke up because it was your moment.
Thank you, Eugenia.
Love you. You're welcome. All right. Anybody else waving at me? Come on, next person. On we go. I'm going to do Carl and then Dasha. Okay, Carl, you're on.
Yeah. So one I'm trying to figure out is with the new business I want to start, I have made the excuse in the past, like I don't have enough time, right? And that just kind of goes back into my bigger pattern of, well, why am I even trying to do this, right? And so, I mean, because I feel like I'm doing enough, right, in my full-time job and my family and the teaching, and then why do I want to do this? But I know it's self-fulfillment and service back. And to make that transition, it's like I just keep falling. Yeah, I just keep getting stuck, right? And so to change that, I go back to the new pattern, or go to the new pattern. So anyways, if you can help me figure that out.
Yeah, first of all, I would say the bigger thing here, like let's get it out of the tiny little box into actual bigger issue. What am I tolerating? And what you're tolerating is having a life when you're not fulfilled, when you're doing shit because you think you should instead of actually living the life you want to be living. So that's the part that's supposed to be the drive. So when you start questioning, like, why am I doing this? That's why. It's not because, oh, I should be serving, because that's yet another should. It's actually more like, what are you tolerating? Like, tune into your life. A lot of regimented things, right? And you've been a really good guy as far as like you're doing all the right things, but are you happy in it? Not so much. You find moments of happiness, but overall, it doesn't feel like it's a thing that you want to birth to the world. So whatever the circumstances, I'm not going to go there, but now you're ready to stop tolerating that. So if you're ready to stop tolerating that, that means whatever it takes to birth this new thing. This new thing doesn't mean quit everything you got, burn all the bridges and start the new thing. It can be done harmoniously within the thing, everything. But yes, the time will have to be allocated differently. So I have no time is an excuse. You actually have the time. What you don't have is the priorities put correctly. And that's where the lower self decision comes in. That's the answer you've been missing in there, because you decided that being a good guy and doing the should thing is the priority. Well, with that, your own life will forever not be. And then because of that, there will not be time. Something else will always happen. See?
Yeah.
Okay. So the switch here in a decision is actually, what do you choose to prioritize? That doesn't mean that if you're not prioritizing it, it falls apart. It just means it moves to a secondary position or tertiary position. You can still have your job. You can still have whatever. But, you know, you can also choose to allocate more of your focus onto the thing you actually want to be doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you see what that decision is? So now you can go into what identity created the decision that says the priority must be the should.
Yeah, I got it. So it's like, okay, trying to be a good provider and doing mm-hmm. all that stuff, but also putting myself last. And now it's about making myself a priority and nurturing myself. in that process, but also having the self-integrity to set aside that time and doing it consistently.
Right. And if you do that, you're actually serving, because first of all, men can benefit by getting that too, because there's this morphogenic field of a good guy and being stuck in the should. So stepping into actually being an aligned guy that is still self-responsible and responsible for whatever he chose to be responsible for, but not stuck in the should. That's a service in itself to do that for humanity, just by the fact of you being the example of it. But doing so in a way that also links to service, because by nurturing yourself, by choosing to prioritize yourself, you're actually prioritizing your mission and your mission of service. So either way, you're still prioritizing service, but notice you added self there. Thank God. So that's the good thing. Right. So now when you were saying about, so what identity do I switch to? And now it's clear you switch it into identity that says that you matter, your desires matter, and your desires are good. They are of service. It's okay. It's just that frees you from all the shoulds. And then the decision is different.
Yep. Got it. Thanks.
Did that help?
It did. Yes. Thank you.
All right, Dasha.
First of all, I'm sorry. If anybody else wants to speak more,
okay. Stop apologizing. I already picked you, so I'll pick someone after you. Okay. Self-minimizing decision here going on.
Awesome. So I kind of thought that it would be nice to speak, because Helen and I have kind of like a sort of a weird parallel, but. This is a neat thing. Like for Helena, it is women kind of versus men. Like it's not safe because, or at least she thought it was, like it was not safe because I'm a woman. And for me, it is like, it was such a clear example of what is not part of your identity, because that question just never, like whether I'm a woman or not, like safety in women just never corresponded in my, mm-hmm. in my identity. It's just, I am not safe because who I am. Because I'm Dasha, like I also have a non-safety issue. So I don't want to show up, but because Dasha is gonna be, you know, my personality, whatever, myself is gonna be dismembered, whatever. It's not because I'm a girl at all. Like, so this was very interesting to see from somebody else for whom it is such a big part of their identity. And for me, it's like, whatever, girl, mm-hmm. penises, no penises, doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. Anyway. My question is this, about what is tolerated. That's what we're doing, right? Here's my answer. I'm willing to tolerate my not being there, my indifference, and my procrastination, which is weirdly totally mirrored by people not following through with their desire to get what I'm offering. Like I have
very weirdly. So it just makes no sense. I wonder why those two are connected.
I know, exactly. So that was kind of like a big sort of light bulb, is that, uh-huh. wait a second, I'm indifferent, like in only in that area, only mm-hmm. I'm only like harping on the business of art just because I chose it as my like wound, whatever. That's what I'm working on. Everything else is fine. Everything else is working great. But in there, they're indifferent, they're not following through because I'm not following through and I'm indifferent. And I'm like, if I could not care about it, I would totally rather not care about it. So that is mirrored to me right away by the attitude of other people who are like, oh, all right. I'm also very willing to tolerate just about above poverty. I have enough, I will always have enough. I know I can survive. I proved to myself that I can survive without anybody, like I can do it. And that's it. That's where I got stuck. Like I can survive. It's not abundance. I will always have just above what I need, but never more than that. Mm-hmm. That is another point of.
So where is the decision here that said that having more is bad, dangerous, or somehow not a good idea?
You know,
you made that decision.
Yes. And that is kind of interesting because I can't really find it. Like in my life, you know, I can look back at, and it wasn't, Well, I guess it was a little bit culturally determined because, you know, like in Soviet Union, if you had money, that was dishonest, right?
Well, and if so, you had money, first of all, you were a dishonest person. Second, it was a target. So either one of those two things always, I mean, if somebody had money, that means somebody's going to come and try to muscle over you or take it. If you
Well, that was not really.
Well, if you have a business in Soviet Union, yeah. It was. I mean, you didn't have a business there. We did. And yeah, it's a dangerous thing to
have. It's not something
at the time to do that. Still probably is.
For me, it was not a part of my universe mm-hmm. because I was just not a part of that interchange. Mm-hmm. But I totally see how it would be for other people. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, it's dishonesty. Mm-hmm. So if I have money, I'm dishonest. More than that, if I sell to somebody, I misused them. Like mm-hmm. If I am making any financial transaction with my sacred piece of art that I made, first of all, how do I put a value on it and stay honest to myself? Because it's either invaluable or I'm undervaluing it or overvaluing it. There is no actually true value that you can put on it. So I'm misusing them. So my nurturer is totally trying to protect my potential customers from my connector.
Exactly. And your connector actually, if unleashed, could sell anything to anybody.
Exactly. And that brings me to another point that I judge the hell out of the connector because I was brought up on Russian literature that says that connections and reliance on society and связи mm-hmm. is bad. Like if you do anything by connections, you are a bad person. You have to do everything is dependent on meritocracy, which is completely not true. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it. I lived my life. I see that it is not true. Meritocracy rarely means anything at all. Connections very naturally mean something. But to me, it is bad. Like, it's just
okay, so this is the lower self conversation, right?
Yes.
So now if we look at the lower self, it made the decision. It made yes. the decision based on a circumstance. The circumstance was the literature, the culture, the family, the upbringing, all this stuff. Somebody else decided and you got indoctrinated by choosing to decide with them.
Yes.
That made it your reality.
Yes.
How is this working out for you?
Well,
you don't have a business, you have amazing art that people don't get to see, and you don't get paid incredible amount of money that you should be getting paid because your art is absolutely freaking amazing, because the connector is keeping her mouth shut.
Well, yes, because the nurturer is, you know, kicking the connector. Right. Nurturer is trying to protect everybody but myself, and connector is just like basically discarded. I vowed to stop, you know, judging the connector. It will take some time. And my next
question... That's a story, by the way.
Well...
It will take time or not. It could be today, right now, you decide you're going to be an awesome storyteller in relationship to your art because the decision could be that my art is the gift of God, the universe. And it's a service to have that art in the hands of other people. The more people get to have it, the more this amazing thing I download into my art gets to be in people's homes. But it has to be in syntropy because I want to create abundance in the world. And if I give it away or diminish myself to do it, I'm contributing to scarcity of this planet, which I actually don't believe in. So in order to contribute to abundance of this planet, I have to sell my paintings for $5,000 each. Decision right now. Why not?
I'm almost there.
Okay.
I think I mentally made that decision. And that was my next question, but you already answered it because I kind of didn't understand how we embody the new identity. I thought that whole like overlay was more about how we clear up emotions. I did not kind of connect it that this is the tool for embodiment of new identity.
Yeah, that's what makes your body believe what you're saying, because otherwise mm-hmm. it's a conceptual exercise.
Okay.
And so, then when we're in conceptual exercise, by the way, everybody, that's when we have the lower self story and the higher self story and they coexist.
Yeah.
You know, like when we say like, why am I still doing this even though I know better? That's because it didn't go to the body.
I see. That was also part of my question. So I'm going to try it and see what happens. I move slowly, but I know it's also a story, but it's kind of how I move now, but I'm going
to
try.
And one more thing here I want to say is you mentioned before you're a rock.
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
So, right. Rock doesn't move slowly.
Ooh.
Rock well, is.
What?
Rock is. It decides and it is. So you don't have to move slowly. You can decide and hold the alignment of your decision.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to decide on that. And I'm going to think about it. Thank you very much. Thank you. It was really helpful. Thanks
You're
a lot.
Welcome. All right. Christina.
Hi. I identify so much with Dasha, so I just wanted to jump in. I'm also nurturer number one and connector, but that's number three. And I shared this the similar thing of being indifferent to my own writing about getting it published or getting it valued, and you know, and once in a while, you know, someone is very excited over a piece I've written, and I know that the appreciation is there when I let someone see it, and I teach workshops and my students, of course, think I'm fabulous, but I'm indifferent about getting paid for it and getting it published. And what I did just now, like at exactly 1 o'clock, I completed this evening signing up for Patreon, mm-hmm. and which is a big step for me to put my writing out and to say, mm-hmm. pay, you know, pay to look at this. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. And I just wanted to, I kind of report that, or I think earlier today I posted in the Facebook page that I'm really confused.
Right, and I actually answered that one. I don't know if you've seen my answer.
Oh, I haven't yet, no.
Yeah, so what you're doing there, Christina, it's interesting because you're saying I'm indifferent. That's the lower self story about getting paid, when actually that is not quite so. It's more like your desire is frozen because of the fear. So the indifference, anytime anybody, like I'm going to teach off you to the rest, anytime that we have this thing like, oh, I just don't care, I'm just indifferent, when part of us kind of knows that it's a bullshit, that's because there is so much terror there that got frozen, and that it's almost like it's terrifying to even look there. So then we pretend it doesn't exist. And that's what we then label, I don't care, or indifference. So for you, Christina, you actually care very deeply about what you put into your art. But to show that, and to, it's kind of like showing your soul. It's like showing up so truly yourself. And then all this stuff similar to what Helena was bringing up comes up. And then it translates into better not. So if that's done with a lot of pain from before, that's how indifference happens. But congratulations on choosing to do Patreon. That's good. It's a good beginner step to start showing up. You know, it could create a little bit more pool of people responding, and you're going to start to get some income from it, which is great. If you ever want to actually make a business from all the pieces, like the way I work with people is I help to create a business that is from your purpose, like what you actually meant to do in this lifetime, your soul mission, but then weave that into a business. So it's not a thing you do, like one thing you do, like, oh, I do this, I sell this, or I create this stuff for somebody, or I just create art, but that it's integrated into what you're actually bringing as an all of you. And then I help people actually figure out how to put that together into something that generates stable income that's much higher than what Patreon would ever bring, unless you have millions of followers. So that's a very different way, though. So what you're doing is you're saying like, okay, I'm good at 50 things. I'm going to pick one thing and I'm going to monetize that one thing, which totally awesome. You should do that. I think it's a necessary step to almost like prove to your subconscious that you're not going to get murdered. Like that's important. Because when we're starting, we need to have these little things. Like I had a client once who just was terrified to put anything out there anywhere. And then we created blog, and the blog is, you know, free thing, whatever. So you put something on the blog and then she would send it to people to be able to see. And that was the beginning of something. Later on, she went on teaching on stage, speaking, whatever. But it's like it started from a stupid little blog because that was important means for her to claim that she can do this and not be murdered. So for you, that's a huge step. And for you, the money is part of the equation. So you have to monetize it. So Patreon is a great way to start for artistic endeavor that. So, but if you ever want to actually combine all the pieces, that's a different strategy altogether. So at this case, you're picking one thing. And again, I'm teaching off Christina here for everybody that we're all multi-talented people. We don't just like do one thing great. We do one thing, then we do another thing, then we're also creative on this and this and that. Like there's a lot to who we are. And we tend to pick one thing that's the most obvious to us that we then make career out of or job out of or something we sell, or maybe you sign up with somebody to sell product like network marketing, whatever. Those are just means to an end. Those are little pieces, one of the fingers. We are actually bigger and our soul mission is always bigger than any finger that we can do, like purchase a business that already exists and then sell it, or purchase a product and sell it, or write something, create something and sell it. Those are pieces and it's awesome to use them. I'm not saying anything against that. It's a beginner strategy. But then when you actually want to fully create that as a business that generates income, that is not going to get you there. What's going to get you there is bringing down all that who you are and putting it together so that you know what you're bringing is based on your soul expertise instead of on your, like what you've learned from your, you know, like mechanical stuff, went to school or took a course or something like that, but your actual soul expertise so that whatever you are delivering, there's no question of its value. You know exactly how to price it. You know exactly how to talk about it. You feel like you own the thing you're bringing through because you're in that centropic service. So that's a sort of a future here. Like I want to open it up for you as to, you were looking there in your post about like, should I have the retreat or should I do this? And what I was answering there is don't focus on the details of those things because you're not actually there yet. You fixate on little stuff and then it becomes like, how do I buy the building or something like that? Like none of that is the issue. The issue is who are you being? So remember we started this today from like, how does the woman who, let's say in your case as Christina, like you have this world organization that supports creative self-expression. Mm-hmm. That self-expression is in a form of words, writing, poetry, and movement, body movement. Mm-hmm. And it's a world organization and it exists everywhere. And it could have an anchor point that is a purchased building, let's say, or it could have 20 anchor points every year, a different one. But who is this woman though? The one who has that generates $1.5 million a year, let's say, having that kind of a domain while being in integrity, while being so fulfilled, while feeling no shame at all about connection and utilizing all of this and being so supportive to all the people who part of her empire, and yet doesn't overgive and has a very clear boundary and knows how to say yes or no and knows what the pricing is, able to charge that pricing and able to say no to somebody who chooses not to pay that pricing instead of feeling like, oh, but they can't afford it, so I should take them anyway. Mm-hmm. See, like all those components, that's more of where the work is for you. And as to do I do this or do I do that, that's a secondary.
Can I ask something about this? Something that really matches the model that you're talking about is something that haunted me for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. When I developed this thing, first I called it moving words, was connecting to soul, writing statements from there and singing those statements while someone danced to your singing, like making these rituals, movement, voice, writing, and meditation.
Yeah, that's your soul contract. That's why I'm saying those things. That's actually what you meant to bring. Mm-hmm.
And I used to, when I would go around and teach workshops in this, I would say to people, because everyone, you know, loved it. And it was very easy to do in a certain structure I called the crystal. And I would say to them, I see in every city in the world, a little storefront where, you know, you've got a grocery store, a post office, a gas station, and then have a place where you just walk in, and you can do this any time of day. It's just available space for this activity to go on. And I would see it as this global, just another component that society is missing, and it could really benefit.
Right, and remember in the portion
But then
about
I would think I was crazy.
Yeah, it's not crazy though, it's not, but it has to be incorporated into something. So let's say this idea, right? That's more of a create nonprofit educational program, right? It's kind of like how people create a program for schools or something else, and it's a nonprofit and it's added into, it's like a donated thing for the school or for the city or whatever. It's like a, you know, even a church, right? I mean, churches have to make money in order to then have the property that then stays open for people to be able to walk into. It all costs money within our society, right? So in the business portion of this week, you know how I gave the example that if somebody's value is that they want to create something charitable, their business has to generate enough income to have that component as the charitable, right? So let's say your idea, maybe not every city in the world, but to have it in some, you know, some major places that
it's accessible, accessible to anyone.
Maybe it's traveling, whatever. But let's just say as a concept, to have that, that is not something that, I mean, it's almost like a church. It's like walking in, it's a temple, right? So that means it's free for people. That just like, you know, many art galleries are free to enter in, but then you have to purchase next thing. So again, it will be organized in that same manner. But to do that, your business actually has to first exist and generate significant income, which then this could be a charitable arm, which is a great tax deduction, and then it helps everybody and people benefit and you benefit. But the nurturer tends to over-focus on the charity thinking that is the thing. It's not the thing. It's a far out there outcome of the rest of the thing. See what I mean? But connecting those things that you said, that doesn't mean that you cannot do that and get paid a lot of money for that. It just, you think it only could be done for free in this way. No, no, no. It could be done for actually completely different scenario where you get paid very well. And it's, you know, what generates income that then you can have something charitable. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that answer it?
Yeah, except I can't find that identity anymore. I mean, I had that identity also when I was young and I was a dancer. And I mean, I was doing these things sort of in my prime. And that traveling and that a certain kind of energy of leading big groups and doing those things. And I don't feel like that person anymore.
You don't need to be that person.
Yeah.
That's actually not a required thing. Like what we're talking about, like earlier on, if you listen to this recording, when I said, what would that woman feel like? And I said, she's confident, she has a good boundary and all this other stuff. I said, that's it. That's the new identity. That's who you need to be. If you do that, and I don't know, if you choose to work with me, I can actually help you build that thing. And then you would probably need about maybe 40, 50 clients a year. So no big groups, just literally small number of people who you bring through this incredible journey and you generate the income that you're looking for. So this idea of touching a lot of people, that's actually nurturing over nurturing. It's looking to save the world. But what if you only worked with smaller number of people, but you work deeper, you work that your soul could dance, knowing that you're serving at the highest level, doing what you actually fully desiring to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of what you're looking for. So then from that standpoint, look for, okay, the decision I've made before is it has to be a lot of people and it has to be free, and then I can do it. Mm-hmm. Because you decided that that's the way to save the world, the Pleiadian karmic pattern here. So if instead we go into, no, I'm only going to work with the ones who are frequency-wise matching the range I want to bring through. Chosen ones. That doesn't mean that the other ones are somehow not good or something. It just means those chosen ones are the ones who get to work closely with you. That's a different identity, right? That's not saving the world anymore. That's why I was saying in the thing I was saying earlier about that you have to actually switch from wanting to save the world and serve the masses to a decision that I'm going to choose to serve smaller number of people, but deeply and get paid very well. Then if you want to have a charitable arm or very low pay sort of version to that, like Patreon, awesome. But that's like, you know, this is the top and this is like the rest of the circle. So that big circle could be huge for, you know, $5 a month or $2 a month. But this is much smaller. And you were trying to kind of build this, like the whole thing. And then you spread yourself too thin and then nothing happens.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what happens.
Right. So now you know what the decision is and you know who you need to be. And when you re-listen to this recording, I think it would help you with the things I named in there to focus on that instead of thinking like, oh, how do I be this person who leads all these workshops? And that you don't have to be. None of that. That's all the circumstances as to what you think it's supposed to look like. It might look like that, but probably not. It might look like something completely different. So don't get yourself fixated on what the outcome looks like. Go for more what experience would she be having? She, the one who's in the center of all that incredible stuff.
Thank you.
You
I'll email you and ask about the other part you were talking about.
Okay. All right. And I saw D somewhere and I'm seeing Shannon. So Shannon, you'll be next. D will be first. Katie.
Hello.
Hi, Dee.
So what I'm tolerating and what I've created is a bunch of health issues. In particular, my face is all broken out, a lot of fire and what am I gonna say? Yeah. So anyways, so the kind of the decisions I was coming up with was being healthy is bad. Because I did, growing up, have like the example of the week. My brother was wasn't doing really well, and he had some mental, emotional stuff. So he got all the attention. So that was kind of the family, message. But I really didn't want to be that. I wanted to be like strong, and so. Sickness is weakness, which I don't like, and I don't deserve to be healthy, and so those are kind of what I'm tolerating, and I guess the decision. The other decisions I'm coming up with are, I must be doing something wrong, I'm getting old, I should be able to figure this out, I'm not enough.
Yeah, that's more of the stories. Everything you're saying, those are not decisions, those are all stories. The decision is, I have to be perfect.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not perfect, I can't show up. And showing up is scary. So in order not to show up, I'm going to decide that I'm not good enough because I'm not perfect enough. And then as the proof, the body has an issue.
Okay. So, okay, that's easy enough.
Yeah, but you see how I turn it all backwards on its head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get stuck in the little details of the story of, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. That's all, I mean,
okay, that's
the story. But if you look at the root of that, because you can't change that, that's just like accoutrement, but you gotta go into the root. And the root has to do with, if I am powerful, I'm in danger. And then the secondary solution is, I can only be powerful or visible or whatever if I'm perfect. And that automatically set you up into, well, then I never can be powerful. So whew, I'm off the hook. I don't have to show up or be powerful or anything. Hey, I can never be perfect. So then the story of, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, that's just playing on the background to keep you in that, you know, I'm not perfect. So thank God I don't have to show up. That's the decision in there. So what if you made a different decision? What if the new decision was something that didn't require perfection in order to be powerful, to show up?
That would be good.
So mm-hmm. What would you come up with?
I don't have to be, what do you mean, what would I come up with?
Well, what would be your decision right now?
Oh, my decision.
Yeah, we know what you decided before, and now you can decide differently.
I don't have to be perfect to be powerful.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be powerful? For you?
Lots of energy. I guess in control of my, well, there, I'm back to control.
Yeah, I noticed you went into vitality and you went into, you know, control, and now we're looping right back to the old. Okay, so what does it really mean to be powerful? Can you be powerful and not in control? Can you be powerful and not have vitality in that moment?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I have to think about that.
So what is being powerful then?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I guess choices, making my own choices rather than being controlled by all these, the stories.
Good job. So there you go. There's your answer. So apparently being powerful has nothing to do with being perfect or having energy or knowing all the answers or being in control. Apparently being powerful simply means free will choice, ability to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you had ability to choose? What's so dangerous about that?
I've gone down this before, then I might make the wrong decision.
And what is decision. That based on, belief? What?
Say it again.
What belief is this based on?
That there's only one right decision.
Uh-huh. So what if we challenge that decision? And instead we say that I'm safe, it's okay if I make right decision or wrong decision.
And there are no wrong decisions.
I'm safe anyway.
There's only lessons. I know it's back to...
Yeah, but you see, this is what we do. So I'm going to use you as an example, Dee, but that's what we do. What she's showing us, it's this circular thing. This is how much, I mean, human psyche, it's incredible. It's like if it was a building, it would be like an Usher drawing when going up and down, and you have no idea where you are after a while, and all the roads still back within the same cube lead to the same center. Because we make up so much stuff that always proves the point that we originally decided. So Dee decided that she's only loved, actually, that's your anchor there, if she has the right answer. So whatever circumstances of her upbringing created that, that was the immature child solution to the problem of her situation in life. And then from that point, it went on with all these secondary, tertiary, and on and on and on layers to uphold, to prop up, to support that. And that's how you end up with having to be perfect, having to have vitality, having to know the answer, having to be in control, and millions of other things. So the actual decision, what if you were loved anyway, right answer or wrong answer? And I know there is no wrong answer, but your lower self doesn't know that. So we have to use the wrong answer for it, right? So for her, for the little girl there, she was essentially told if she has the right answer, she gets love. If she gets the wrong answer, bad things happen. So what happens if she gets love anyway? If she has the right answer or the wrong answer?
Then I can relax.
Exactly. You just like look at your whole body posture.
I can be.
I can stop
questing.
Right. So that's actually the root of the decision. So you were on the correct path in there, but you see how many layers there? Well, yeah, it's like the going on stairs that all come back to the same thing. So right, shifting that into what we just changed it in, see how much more room you felt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like I can breathe, like this is, that's what decisions do. When you hit the right spot, so I know I'm doing it here with you guys kind of in an accelerated way, like I laser you there, but you know, normally it takes longer, but I know what I'm doing so I can for some time. But that thing that she just arrived in, that's the result we're looking for. Same thing with Helena, with Dasha, with everybody. Like when you get to that thing, when you can actually see it in a person, they go from this to like something just kind of lets go. That's a clue that you hit the right thing and your body is relaxing enough. You know, that means the body believed the new decision. Otherwise, you can tell your body whatever until it got that all the way through. It's not going to believe it. So, Dee, for you, is there some something from your past that you can remember anywhere between birth and now that you had that experience when you were like relaxed and just be okay? And if, you know, right or wrong, I'm loved anyway.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because I did come down to who do I need to be, and it was peaceful.
There you go. You got there.
So, but yeah, so we've worked with going up to the top of El Rock at Sedona and just looking over the landscape and being alone up there. And it's peaceful, spacious, and
awesome. So that is in your body. Now, if you tune into that, and then next time you get the trigger, when you look at your face or think about your face, you said you were skin issues. So when you tune into that, and your habitual response is to go judge yourself or go into all this other spinning thing, instead you stop and you go, no, I'm on a rock in Arizona or whatever that is, and I'm loved anyway. If I have this or if I don't, I'm loved anyway. That then makes you get out of your own way so the body can actually heal you. Good job.
All right, I've been visible, my spot. Good job. All
right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so Shannon, I promise next. Lisa, you will be next after Shannon. Let me find Shannon. I don't see you yet. Ah, oh, there you are. Okay.
Thank you. Mine is also related to well-being and health, but mine is more that I tolerate the idea that as we age, our body becomes less than. And I know. I mean, I know that that isn't true, but yet I look in the mirror and I see wrinkles everywhere and I'm like, golly, I really am less than, you know, and I, and then I'm in great health. I feel good, but you know, now I wear glasses because I don't see, and oh yeah, because that's because I'm getting old. And so that is a tolerance, really, that
well, the decision here is, remember, not about the circumstance itself, but what do you think about or how you look at your perception. So aging happens. We live on a planet where our cells replicate, and after a while they don't replicate as well, so yes, you're gonna get wrinkles, and there's some issues. There are different kinds of aging. I would say from the solo console perspective, there are three types. One type is when the person believes that they should be aging, and as they age, they're gonna get somehow bad health will happen to them. So then that person will have many different illnesses. They just age and they get, you know, more and more disease of some sort. That's one way of aging. Another way of aging is the person who says that, okay, my body is going to have some issue because, I mean, I'm aging, so of course maybe joints are not quite as supple or whatever. That's just part of normal body process, but I'm going to not make it mean anything about me.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I'm diminished. It just means I have to be self-responsible and adjust my behavior. You know, like don't jump off buildings if you're not 20 years old because you will definitely break something. So certain things like would just have to make sense to adjust. And the third type is a person who and the second type, by the way, would have usually one condition that they have that's something they have to pay attention to. It's usually karmically affected, but otherwise generally be healthy and just aging a little bit. And the third type is the one that usually physically very active people, and those are the people that tend to think that, like, look at their aging as, I can prevent it, I can do something about it, which not really, but let's just say that's another belief. And then with that belief, they usually end up having periods of super healthy, no problem, and then something that's more extreme, like for 3 months, they're really sick with something, and then they find for like another year or two. Then again, they're really sick with something for a few months, and again. So those are kind of three types of aging. I would say most harmonious one is the middle path, you know, where, you know, whatever your karmic thing, maybe the vision for you would be your thing. For somebody else, it might be a little bit of inflammation in the joints, or for somebody else, it might be, you know, something with their feet or whatever, like whatever the issue that we have, then that one particular thing becomes the physical thing through which we process, but it's minor because we don't choose to make it mean something about who we are as an identity.
Okay.
Okay, so see the difference? It's not the aging that you want to stop, it's how you're looking at it. You were saying it's diminished. You're not diminished. Your body is replicating slower, and because your body is like your pet that you're responsible for, mm-hmm. you have to accommodate the body's slower process of recovering. But that doesn't mean that you're diminished. It's just kind of like if you have a pet and the pet is getting older, if it was a dog and you used to go for runs, well, now you can't because it's an older dog. You have to be kind to the pet you have, but it doesn't mean that it's diminished or that your relationship with it is diminished.
So today I was working with the encoding, you know, that, and so I was just working with that sensation of just feeling good within my physicality.
Yeah, that's
just
the well-being.
Like really, really bringing it in to you know, like the situation where you're, I don't know, sitting on the beach and you're, oh my gosh, you know, this is so great. My body feels so wonderful. And so then I was just bringing that in to try to feel it at almost like a cellular level mm-hmm. of how wonderful it is to be in this human body at this time and to embrace it more fully and not resist the
exactly yeah the body is something that we have to be in and work with and love and support and also get out of its way when there is healing needed. So D was a perfect example for that, and pretty much everybody does it one way or another. When we get in our own way, because we make something mean something, we're now adding the energy that's actually stopping the body from doing the thing that it needs to do to regenerate and get better if something is going on. So yeah, going into a state of well-being like that, that's a very beneficial thing, and bringing it all the way to your cellular structure, yeah, essential.
Thank you. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Lisa, there you are. Okay, Mira, you next.
My question is about the overlay part.
Okay.
In stepping into the new identity, bringing in the overlay, I have this awareness of a time. For me, it's about claiming my power and being in confidence. So I have two different situations that I can use as overlays, but the first one, it just sort of dawned on me the first time I experienced like this really huge power through sounding, it terrified me actually. So that was when I cut it off. So I'm guessing that I can't really use that if it actually freaked me out, although it doesn't freak me out now when I think about it. So I don't know whether I would use that or not.
The first part of it, you know, like when you brought it in, that was awesome,
right?
You did not freak out, but afterwards, when you kind of like look at yourself as to what did I do,
yeah.
So just don't bring the second half of it.
Oh, okay, all right. That's I just wanted to make sure I wasn't like going to be doing a double whammy on myself in some way. Okay, cool.
Nice. Thanks. Checking in, Magnetic. Yeah, no, that's good. That's actually a good point. Yeah, if you have experience when you had positive and negative, depends on the strength. If the strength of the positive was really strong and it went all the way through, and you in your consciousness, like I know Lisa can, I don't know in everybody's example, but if you can separate the two things, for her it's very clearly two pathways, but if it's possible for you, you can use still the good part of it without the damage part of it. But if you can separate, then you need to find another experience.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. All right, Mira was gonna be next, so there you go. Okay.
Okay, I would like to bring the issue, the question about the relationship. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm understanding, I'm tolerating the issue that I'm not lovable. And working in the last few weeks, I'm understanding that it's going into a number of previous lives. It's mm-hmm. in my karma. Mm-hmm. And I think that I created or I took a new identity in the beginning, and maybe I am, even before this course, I was working on myself to feel more lovable. And I'm having problem with overlay, with the body, how to bring this to the body. And in my, I am accumulator, I am a celebrity and maverick. And I could not have a better combination to feel
right. good. For this, I can see that. Well, one thing I would say is you saying I'm not lovable, like that's the story. I think it's a little bit more complex than that. It's more like I have to do something to get love.
Yeah.
So it's not that you're not lovable, kind of like you could be loved if you did the right thing to get the love. So there is that. I have to do something to get it. And that's where it kind of goes into the idea that you will, like if you have it, if you had love, if you had somebody loving you, reflected to you, then you are enough. So there's the secondary. So in one sense, it's I have to do something to get it. And in another sense, when I get it, that's a proof of my enoughness. Mm-hmm. So then the solution would have to be, I don't need to do anything and I'm enough already.
Yes.
Because that fixes both issues. Now, I don't have to do anything and I'm enough already. That's what you need to find the experience for. When you in your head and your life, those things, and that's what you want to overlay onto the body.
Okay.
Not the I'm enough part, but those that I didn't do anything and I got love anyway. And even if somebody didn't come in and love me, I'm still okay. I'm loved.
My constant struggle that I need to be positive. I need to give. I need to, yes, I need to do something for somebody. And right. then I will be accepted and loved, yeah?
Yeah, and actually it's not that you need to do something. It's that you got trained that if you do, you get positive attention. Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you, that doesn't mean you have to be negative, but what if you were neutral or if you were feeling something bad, you chose to be responsible about it. See, that's not to say like you have to be positive. You know, like let's say if I'm having a hard day, I'm not gonna pick up the phone with, yay, I'm great, how are you? Because that's a lie. But I would pick up the phone with like, oh, hi, how are you, whatever. And if the person knows me and they say like, oh, you sound a little different. Are you all right? I would say, well, you know, it's been a hard day, but I'm managing. But let's focus on what we're going to talk about. So like you can be authentic and show that something is going on without having like noticing the situation. I didn't give anything, like I didn't try to be nice. So that's kind of more of what we're talking about here. So does that help?
Yes, it's sending me in the right directions. Yes, thank okay. you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome. All right, Andrea.
Hi, Eugenia. Thank
Hi.
You. I just want to also Hi, thank Grace. Everyone who's been sharing so courageously today. It's been an incredible session, and I'm just really in awe. My question is about sustainability, and then also continuing the discussion of what exactly the coding entails, although I think I have a pretty good idea. What I've been noticing is, yeah, massive transformation, huge shifts. I can just feel it. It's like exponential every day. It's really mind-blowing. And then I also can feel even like as I expand, then I can feel the little whisper of fear, like the old fear, and I recognize it as the sort of the ruler not enough, and then also ruler being worried about not having enough free time, which is always my piece there. And then also even like accumulator not wanting to invest too much of that time that the ruler wants to keep. Like, it's not really that, but there's something about like, it's not boundaries. I'm not a nurturer, but there's something about that.
So for you, everything rotates around time. And time. Every time you speak up, there's something about not enough time, wanting to have more time, not having time for something. So what I would say is look for what do you need the time for? Because I think you're using the time as something else it means for you, because you actually have time, and really it's just organization. If everything is orderly, you have a certain amount of time you can schedule into your life where you have the time, but what is the time for? And I think you have this thing like time must be spent on something. And what you're actually looking for is the non-linear time, as in stepping out of time. So your temperament requires the, what do we call it, spacing out? Like it requires that kind of just hanging out, like without thinking. So that's being free for you. That's what you label freedom. It's not so much getting to do whatever you want. I'm sure that's too, but it's having those moments when you don't have to do, think, decide, and just being. That takes you
processing
the third point out of the right or wrong duality into the third. So you also have a part of you that says you somehow don't have the right to schedule that in.
Like, I'm doing better with that, but I think you're right.
Yeah, like to schedule a time to be free to go for a hike, you might have, or to do something with your kids, you might have. But to schedule time and for an hour, you do nothing.
Oh yeah, no, that doesn't.
Right, but that's what you are. That's why you always feel like you don't have enough time. Not because you don't have enough time, but because you don't have that. So if you looked at that as sometime long ago, I decided that doing nothing is waste of time, and then I don't let myself ever have it. But I need.
Or I feel guilty if I do it. There's
And then you don't enjoy it, so you're not actually in there, and then it's just waste of time. Really, that becomes a waste of time, right? So instead, if you made a decision that having a neutral space, I actually call it space then instead of time. Like I say, I need spaciousness, I need space. So I program space in my day. Like I have to have an hour to 2 hours of space, and it's literally on my calendar. And that means the time when no action happens. I don't write, I don't process, I don't call, I don't do, it's a space. I literally would sit down with my eyes closed. I could meditate or not, but I would have that time because my brain requires it or I will self-destruct. So you need something like that. I don't know what your version of that would be, but if you chose to put it in every day as this is my spacing out time, whatever, the non-linear time moment, and it's non-negotiable and the whole family knows and nobody gets to have you. The phone is turned off, you go, I don't know, sit in the car in the parking lot, but you're off the grid for that time. And you feel absolutely no guilt. You like totally own, that's what I need. So then the decision is that I decide that spaciousness, it's part of my service. I serve by having the space because that's when I download all the things that then I implement. Otherwise you like implement, and there's download happen as you implement, and before long you start to feel like, oh my God, I'm so busy and like I don't know what's going on. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, no, that's I love that. That's great. I serve by spacing out.
Not all the time, but
not all the time, I know, a little bit. And then the other question, part B, is this kind of like I'm getting the understanding of the coding. I think I kind of have a good handle of that. But sustainability question is about beyond next week. You know, when we're done here, what do you recommend as either next step or the way to continue the work that we're doing here in a way that you know, you talked about anchoring it in. Hopefully that's immediate and we've all done that already and we decided and we're good. But, you know, what is the recommendation for that kind of sustainability and really retaining all this incredible expansion and then building upon it beyond here?
Well, it depends on the person. It depends what you're building. So obviously, as I said, you can download the audios, you can choose to listen to it, you can choose to go through the course with the audios again, and you know, you can choose to pick something else and go through your workbook, print it anew, like the new version of it, and then do it again with something else. So, I mean, you can choose to be sort of proactive on that structure. And then it depends, like a lot of you are in Transcension Gate already. So that's a community where we get to do conscious work. It's not directly linked to this, but it's all based on the same thing. So that's a support system that you can use. And if you're looking more for the actual business component, well, then you're definitely welcome to have a conversation with me to be in one of my business programs, because that's where I actually help people implement all of that. So right. then it's not just something that you have conceptually understood, but like, how does it apply directly to your business, which right. you know.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome. You are very welcome. Mm-hmm. All right. Dee, you have your hand up. Did you mean to? Or? Oh, okay. I'll lower it. Anybody else waving at me?
I am.
Okay, Dusty.
Hey. So just looking back at the celebrity, and it says you likely did not receive approval, unconditional love, or positive opinion from a people or important as a child. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have to identify that so that I can focus on why the self-love is not there. Mm-hmm. So is there a way to figure that out? Because I don't know what that is.
That's you and the boys, you and the man. You constantly comparing yourself to other men. That's the story right there. That's where that happened.
Yeah, but did something happen?
Only you would know, but that's where the imprint is.
All right. Well, I still don't get it. But so when I'm starting the fifth meditation, do I think of just not feeling love or?
Well, you can't think of not feeling. That's like, that doesn't make any sense. So you step into the you that has the energy of what you want to be. So in this situation with a celebrity, the energy that celebrity needs is to approve of themselves. Because celebrities originally projected that component onto other people and then didn't get approved by other people. So in your situation, it was peers that were men. So probably as a teenager growing up, maybe puberty and then becoming a man, something in that area. I don't know what it is, but somewhere around there. And being around guys and seeing them maybe growing up differently or something. And you, I don't know, you traveled a lot. So I don't know what your story is, but whatever that is, that's somewhere where it happened. But you were looking for to be welcomed in, included in, and approved of by that peer group, and it didn't happen. So then it translated into, I have to be a certain way in order to get this. When the actual solution is to be that already, without anybody else approving of you, you have to approve of yourself, not looking for that coming to you from the outside. So as to what do you do in the meditation, you are in a place of what does it feel like when I am approved of me, like when I am already feeling like I am enough, I can celebrate myself, because you're very good at celebrating other people, but this is about celebrating yourself without a reaction to external world. And in your situation, what tends to happen a lot is that you end up feeling like your self-celebration is constantly sabotaged by other people not going along with what you want them to do or be. If the other people were less relevant in that scenario, so they get to do whatever, but you don't have to react to them, then you can continue with your self-love and celebration, no matter what is going on, which then creates a different broadcast. So it radiates a different frequency. And then all these people who were behaving a certain way might start to behave differently because you are being different instead of reactive to them.
Okay.
Did that land?
I think so. Painfully?
It's a journey, but for you, as I said, the main thing I see is a lot of the decision that I am okay, I'm enough, my life is great, the whole celebrity thing, if everything around me is certain way. You know, kind of like, let's say if you dressed very well and your kid is dressed badly or your dog is dirty, you might actually feel embarrassed and bad when somebody else would not. That's because you're kind of taking that in as part of your world. So what I'm saying is that then whatever their behavior is translates onto you. Instead of you choosing, no, I'm going to be in self-celebration anyway, and I choose to be whichever way I am. And then they get to be whichever way they are. Like, they are allowed to be dirty or messed up or whatever. And then you get to have your own life experience. And the more you're having that life experience, the more people around you have a chance to respond to you differently, which is what you want in the end. But you can't get there directly. You have to get there by changing it within yourself.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Tatiana. Still muted. Hold on.
So if I was working, because I have the main focus for the class, right? If I was working on, let's say, some other area, it would have been a little bit easier, I believe, because I would have had a watermark to experience an anchor and encode in the body. Mm-hmm. But because, as you know, I've been a very long-term neglector due to my wonderful nurturer, who I fired. I was listening to Dasha and I was like, that story is over. So it does happen. So if I, for a long time, tolerated of having just enough, didn't plan to have a business, didn't plan to have a self-employment situation. It all landed on me by wonderful fire elements. And now I am realizing I'm not tolerating the just enough anymore. But I have a little bit of difficulty if I don't have a watermark of an experience with the money. How do I experience it? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I totally do. First of all, take money, put it aside.
Okay.
What else is represented by the same energy for you that's not money?
Well, that conversation we had maybe 2 months ago in ESS, mm-hmm. in the class after my walk with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that. If you would give that type of a frequency experience to yourself.
It's like total freedom.
Exactly. So yeah. That would be a good substitute for the money because it's still kind of the same territory.
And I get teary about it now because that time when I was walking right before I talked to you, that's when I felt it, but it has nothing to do with money.
Exactly.
Everything had to do with the steps that I was watching. On the stand. Yeah. Okay. So, but again, when I'm doing it in meditation, well, I obviously don't want to cry every time. But what would you recommend, in terms of the encodement? Like, how do I practice that? Every time I meditate, I think about that walk with the universe.
In a sense, you don't think about it, but you remember your body being on a beach. You remember how the water smelled. You remember how it felt in your body. And even if you just like didn't do a snapshot of 2 seconds of that,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to think about anything. You just have to like teleport yourself back to that moment for a second and bring it back into your current.
Okay. Cause it was complicated because you were talking about to multiple people, oh, put money in there, put money in your meditation. But when I do that, even though I'm not tolerating discounts and charity business anymore, that's it, I'm done. But just putting money and scrolling through the phone, it wasn't doing it. It's not your thing.
I mean, that does work for a lot of people, but we all are different. So that's why I always tell you, use something that works for you, like something that your system translates into, you know, like, let's say it doesn't have to be money. It could be you driving a vehicle that is luxury vehicle. Like for you, maybe that's not a thing. Maybe it's living in an apartment that's all designed specifically according to your needs. And maybe you have 3 apartments in 3 different parts of the world that you really want to be in. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to create apartments, mind you. But it's the experience sort of as to what money could bring for you instead of focusing directly on money. So a lot of times it could be literally money for some people, or it could be what money would give you. You know?
And that's what I started doing with that theater meditation. But then I was confused when you said, oh, make sure you put money in there.
Right, and you are putting money in there by focusing on something that's materially enabling you to have the lifestyle you want. It's just you're not thinking literally of it as money, but you are putting money in it.
Okay.
All
right, thank you.
Yeah, welcome. John, Maki.
Hey, Virginia. A lot of good stuff tonight, but what I keep coming up against in my confusion is about what is it I'm supposed to end up doing in my life. And so here I'm not working right now. So, and I still have this belief I don't have enough time, which I probably have more time than I've ever had. But I think I'm tying it back to that I feel like I need to finish this course and be perfect before I can figure out what I want to do with my life.
Well, all of that is a story on top of story on top of another story sitting on top of a third story or a fourth story. So that's just a lot of stories. So
it's all building.
Right. But you know, like if you tune into your zone of genius, you know, it has something to do with people, connection, with how you interact with people, your combination sort of a teacher and an entertainer. I don't know what else to call it, but there's something like that in there. And there's a giving that comes through that. Now, that could be utilized as whatever skill that you have. And remember, we talked before about the difference between qualities and the skills. So those are qualities I just named. And a skill could be that you are a chef and you're a singer. Those are two skills you have.
Right.
But the qualities are the social connectedness, the entertaining, the teaching ability, the ability to connect, to guide, like all that stuff, patience. So combining the two with either one of the skill, another, or both. You could be the first known pastry chef that sings and teaches people how to do something. I mean, you can literally create anything you want. You can create some sort of a product, you know, course or something that is supported by some organization and then they will be promoting. You can choose to go sing and organize something like that and then get paid for your performance. I mean, you have phenomenal voice. So you can do a lot of things, but when you fixate on those doing things, what's missing is the who are you being? In all those things, you're being the man who's not questioning himself. You're being the man who's not afraid to show up, who's not afraid to be wrong. You're definitely being a man who feels like he's got plenty of time instead of feeling trapped that he doesn't have time. Mm-hmm. You're being a man who's confident in the fact that what he's delivering is needed and who has no problem getting paid for it without making it mean something about him being good or not. So that's more of what you want to focus on for this week and the next week, to be that man. And then what you want to apply it to, that's a choice. So we're back to what are you tolerating? You're tolerating indecision.
Okay.
So you can choose to decide. You literally have two main options. I mean, I guess third if you want a job. So you can have a job, you can be a teacher, pastry related something, or you can be a singer something. Or you can have any combination of the three. Right. So the rest is a choice as to personal preference. What would you like? You know, either one of them can work. That's the part that we so often forget. We think there's like one right way and what is it? What am I supposed to do? None of that. We are just like what I was saying earlier to Christina and somebody else, that many fingers. And within all those fingers, one of them is the skill, another is a skill. You can use them in different ways, different combinations.
Well, one of the things is, you know, when you talk about, and I think this is, you know, when I talk about being a chef, I mean, it's one of the things that really opens up my heart when I think about it. Some friends called me the other day to ask me about making a cake and I just go nuts. I go find them a recipe and I, you know, and it was, and even Lisa said, Jesus, you get so excited. And it's my joy. There is that joy, but I have a story that being a chef is really hard and I'd have to work really hard and I can't get paid enough for it.
And
it
who's the boss of you?
Huh?
Who is the boss of you?
Me.
So does it have to be hard?
No.
Okay. So can you make a different decision?
Yeah.
Can being a chef be absolutely fantastic and you can just make one cake or one video and get paid a lot and enjoy it tremendously and it's easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything is a story. It's up to us. Do we want to be the hero or do we want to be the victim? Completely up to us. Just playing your own stories. Either way, we make them up. So make up the one that serves you.
Okay.
And benefits the world, which it will be either decision you make.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, one more person and then we're going to end, or we're going to end now if I don't see any more hands. All right. Margie, all right. One last and we're done.
Okay. So I'm just taking this opportunity because we're here and I'm thinking about the overlay and me and when I feel my most, if I place an overlay and I look at my arc of my types, it's when my maverick kicks in. Mm-hmm. And I can think back to multiple times and I've always caught them breakthrough moments like, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing. But that is also the thing that triggers my fear. So wondering if, and then I'm looking down here, looking at my romantic that says I don't matter. So is it the taking care of like when I'm in my maverick kicks in and I'm feeling free and I'm feeling creative and I feel like, oh my gosh, this is like wonderful. And then I realize, wait a minute, I put myself first. So
that
I might have just answered it. I just did it.
Yeah, it goes back to the identity. Yeah. Because whoever your identity is then would hold the new overlay, right? Mm-hmm. So if the identity is the old one and you're trying to do the new overlay, it's not going to work. But if identity mm-hmm. is the new one, then it will.
Okay. I'm good.
Awesome. Good job. All right, guys. Well, here we are. I'm going to unmute you all so I can hear you. Unmute all. There you are. You're all unmuted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye. Invitation is awesome. Bye-bye.
I
want
to see Sarah's next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much.